Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host. This is a beautiful day in the American Redoubt. It's supposed to be a high of what, 92? Summer is here. Hey, thank you guys all for your prayers this week, and thank you for your support, and thank you for your just your encouragement, and thank you guys for being out there. Thank you for being in the fight for liberty, for that liberty, which is a gift from the Lord. Now, we are covering live all of Eastern Washington, Yakima, Wenatchee, Spokane, Walla Walla, Tri-Cities, all over the place, and also to those outside the wire, don't forget about them, in occupied territory, everywhere, live streaming, listening right now. Our website is radiofreeredoubt.com, and redoubt is spelled with a silent B, R-E-D-O-U-B-T. A redoubt is a safe haven, a refuge, a fallback position. And this is the American Redoubt, broadcasting live from Studio A. And we've got several things we're going to cover. We're ramping up for this disaster training exercise coming up. Cascadia Rising, a Pacific Northwest major government disaster preparedness operation training exercise based on a earthquake scenario. We're going to be following that this week. If you're listening to RadioFreeReadout.com, the live streaming there from our Stream Monster player, during the daytime at the least, we will be bringing you live coverage as that develops, as we get news and information off the airwaves. Our ham radio operators are going to be gleaning the airwaves to be able to share information with you. Just let's practice for the Amron operators as well. Now, we've got a great guest coming up, one you, many of you are already familiar with, but some new developments and things that we want to share with you. But first, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. Go to 299days.com to learn more. All 10 books are out. International news. Germans are moving to Christian Hungary. From IB Times out of the UK, increasing numbers of Germans are moving to Hungary to flee the refugee crisis. German public service broadcaster Bayerischer Rundfunk reported. Estate agents in the picturesque Balaton area in western Hungary said that there had been a surge in Germans looking to move to Redoubt to the area since last September, after millions of refugees fleeing conflict in the Middle East and Africa entered Germany. As well as the good weather and large German community, one estate agent told the station that the new German arrivals were attracted by the fact that the majority of Hungarians are Christians and there are hardly any migrants in the country. Wow. That is drawing Germans. The Hungarian Prime Minister has criticized Germany's refugee policy, refusing to accept the country's European Union quota of asylum seekers, and authorizing the construction of a razor wire fence to seal the country. Wow, a national leader actually doing his duty to protect his country and the borders of his country and the culture that is a Christian nation. Amazing, isn't it? Let's go back over to the United States. Not as good news coming out of the United States and occupied territory, especially California. Just the assembly in California just voted 41 to 37 to allow convicted felons to vote in jail. Yes, in jail. In that no speed limit spirit Tuesday, the California Assembly voted 41 to 37 to allow convicted felons to be able to vote. Spearheaded by Democrats. Interesting that they would want convicted felons. You lose your right to vote and to hold public office and to own firearms, all of this stuff. So are they just going to pick and choose what rights you get back while you're in prison? Are they going to let them have firearms? Are they going to let them run for office next while they are convicted? Now, I agree that once you get done doing your time, you should have all your rights back. If you should not have your rights back after getting out of prison, you shouldn't be out of prison. So that's just my opinion. But while you're in prison, you get to vote. Watch, one day they're going to have people running for public office as convicted felons in prison. Interesting, huh? CNS News. The number of Syrian refugees admitted into the United States jumped to 1,037 during May, an increase of 130% over the previous month, but the proportion of Christians among them remains minuscule. 2 Christians compared to 1,035 Muslims were fast-tracked into the United States. That's 0.19% Christians being allowed in. More Christians are being herded over to Europe and especially France than anywhere else. And of course, even there, the Christians are being persecuted in the refugee camps. They're having a hard time trying to separate them for security reasons. What's next? Oh, Bill Clinton. Did you guys hear about this? Bill Clinton's words of wisdom to, well, they say Trump followers, not just Trump, but speaking at a county college, Bill Clinton said white non-college educated Americans, oh, he's pulling out the race card, who are widely seen as a core part of Trump's base, need to be brought along to the future. We all need to recognize that white non-college educated Americans have seen great drops in their income, have seen great increases in their unemployment rate, have seen drops in their life expectancy, and they need to be brought along to the future. But listen to this. They can't live under the illusion that you can reclaim a past, which is just that, a past. So they're saying, the time when we had secure borders, that's a time of the past. That's where that needs to stay. The time when we were a Christian nation, oh, that needs to remain in the past. Our heritage, our language, our culture, our borders. You can't just be hanging on, living under this illusion that you can reclaim that past of your American Christian heritage. You need to just leave it there in the past where it belongs. It's time for you to move on. These are socialist communists and anti-Americans. There's an article here I don't want to let slip away. I just got this yesterday, and this is going viral right now. Once it got sent to me, breaking right here at Radio Free Redoubt, a very sad situation has come to our attention. A senior at the Bonner's Ferry High School, Jaeger Schnurley, who will be graduating from Bonner's Ferry High School this Saturday, was told he couldn't wear his hand-painted graduation cap, which there's a picture of, for any part of the graduation ceremony. Now, this has the Marine Corps emblem hand-painted on the top, and on the underside of it is the American flag, hand-painted. Now, before you say, well, that's the rules, you can't have... No, no, no. It is a tradition, a long-standing tradition at the Bonner's Ferry High School for the seniors to customize, hand paint, and decorate their caps that they wear for graduation. So someone said, well, maybe because he went a little too far. He painted the top, but you're not supposed to paint the underside. No, that's not what was said. Tim Gehring, the principal at Bonners Ferry High School, said, quote, that some people might find it offensive. That was the reason. Not because nobody's supposed to decorate them, not because there's a certain way you're supposed to decorate them, or any restrictions placed on how you're supposed to decorate your cap. Now, Yeager is already enlisted in the United States Marine Corps as a senior in high school. He has been for nearly a year. This decision was made by outgoing Bonners Ferry High School principal Tim Gehring when the senior class did their walkthrough. The principal said some people might find it offensive. That was the reason. So we need to send a very clear message. Representative Heather Scott and Representative Sage Dixon apparently are going to be there to show their support. Representative Matt Shea has weighed in. He's appalled by the statements that the American flag and the emblem of the United States Marine Corps might be found offensive. And of course, I say, if you find something like that offensive, you need to move back to occupied territory. You do not belong in the American Redoubt. If the Marine Corps emblem and the United States flag on a cap for a graduation ceremony is offensive to you, move. Leave. Go away. And I also said, and I stand by this, one day after the fight for Americanism, after the fight for our country and freedoms, after the rebuilding, after the reset, there's going to be a museum. So we don't forget the fight that we were under when we were losing America. That cap, that's going to be in a museum one day, along with several other artifacts from when our freedom and our liberty were under attack right before the fall of America. There will be a rebuilding. There always is. Don't forget about that. Now, we got a special guest coming up right after the break. And this week, hopefully you guys are preparing to practice grid down, Cascadia Rising training exercise next week. Next weekend, we'll be right in the middle of T-Rex 2016. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away. It's the end.
This is Enola Gay of the Peritus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. The foundation of most food storage programs is wheat. While in the berry, wheat stored properly lasts almost indefinitely. Just ask Pharaoh. The wheat stored in his tomb for over 2,000 years was not only nutritionally viable, it also produced an excellent crop when planted. Remember, once the wheat berries have been cracked or ground, exposing the germ, the wheat will begin to go rancid within 18 hours. If you choose to incorporate flour into your stored foods rotation, white flour is a better choice than wheat. Although nutritionally inferior, white flour has had the germ removed, thus eliminating the chance for spoilage. In the service of the king, this is Enola Gay of the Peritus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
This is Radio Free Readout Segment 2, which is brought to you by Werks Holsters. Custom-made Kydex holsters, W-E-R-K-Z holsters, made right here in the American Readout with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Check them out today, works.com. Now, we've got a special guest today that is very timely because of what we're faced with in our country. And there's an event that is coming up very soon, next week from today, next Saturday, that is going to not only increase your level of situational awareness, but also give you some action plans, what we can be doing about this as patriots, what we should be doing about it as Christians. And we can't just rely on prayer. We have to also be moved to action. So it is a great honor to bring a great friend and a guest, a pastor, here, right here in the American Redoubt, a former Muslim and now a Christian pastor from the Spokane Valley, Truth in Love Ministries, Pastor Shahram Hadian. Thank you for joining us.
John Jacob, it is great to be on the show with you. It is always a privilege. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, you have been a hard guy to pin down because your ministry is in full force. And one of the most loving things that you can do, I mean, looking at your ministry's name is Truth in Love. And one of the most loving things you can do for someone is to reveal the truth to them when they're being lied to. And that's what your mission, your ministry is completely centered around, the issues of the day. You're helping Christians in America prepare for the challenges that we're facing. And one of those in particular is the Islamic situation that we're faced with in our country. So just for those listeners who may not be familiar with you, could you just share just your background a little bit as a foundation before we get into this?
Absolutely. And you're absolutely correct, is that, first of all, our ministry is committed to do what the Bible says, which is to speak the truth in love, no matter what the issue may be. The Bible addresses all these issues that are going on. And obviously, with my background, John Jacob, as you know, being a former Muslim, I originally was born in Iran, left there before the revolution happened in 1979, just a few weeks, short few weeks before it happened. My parents got us out in the nick of time, and so we witnessed my birth country go into revolution, into an overthrow and losing its freedoms and losing its sort of secular foundation, even though it was a Muslim-populated country, and Islam came in and took over. And so we came to the United States, fled there, came here for the freedom that this nation represents and has, and many have died for. And so to watch today what is happening has been remarkable. Of course, in 1999, actually 17 years ago, I became a Christian. I left Islam, came out of Islam, and became an apostate of Islam, and the Lord brought me into ministry, becoming a pastor. I've been pastoring now for the last almost 14 years, and as you mentioned, currently pastor a church in Spokane Valley, Washington, with the Truth and Love Ministry, Truth and Love Christian Fellowship. And our ministry has amazingly, over the last year, probably tripled in regards to travel, requests, opportunities, open doors, because I do believe that more people are waking up to the reality of what is happening around the world, in Europe, in America, regarding Islam, its advancement, its movement, its appeasement, the choices of our government, the choices of our president in continuing to defend Islam. We can't address our enemies, as you know, John Jacob, because of political correctness. And so our ministry is focused on eradicating political correctness and being able to hopefully encourage God-fearing patriots and, of course, Christians to be able to address and stand up and have an action plan for these issues. We, as you said at the beginning, prayer is a must and prayer is a starting point. But I believe that God leads us to action and to stand for righteousness. And that's what our prayer is. And that's what we're going to do also with this upcoming conference next Saturday, is to equip God's people to know how to stand up against the Islamization of our nation and of what we're seeing around the world.
It's interesting because right now it is such a volatile situation, and there is no question that this is very powerful spiritual warfare. At the time right now in the Middle East, when the underground Christian church is growing, these people will tell you Islam is antithetical to Christianity. It is not the same God. It is hostile, and it intends to completely dominate the world, through coercion and force if necessary. Meanwhile, in the United States, we are bringing them in, and from the pulpit, the arguments are that's the loving thing to do. We should bring in, as many Muslims as possible into the country. Now, what do you say to somebody who says, aren't we supposed to love them and bring them in and share the gospel with them?
Well, I would say, first of all, let's define love. Because when you talk to many of those people, as I have, John Jacob, who are advocates for bringing Muslim refugees both in Europe and in America, let's not forget that Europe has already gone around the stance many times, and there's been many of the Christians in Europe who have been saying for years, look, there's no harm, let's bring the Muslims in. The problem is that their definition of love, and there's a great story if I can share with you. We just recently had a gal at our church who's from Germany with her husband. She was there, and she was giving an update to us of what was going on in Europe and in Germany, and really it was a warning to America. And she made this great analogy of how I can explain what I consider to be the downfall of this social gospel that many Christians are now engaged in, where they say, well, we want to love the Muslims, and we want to help them, give them food and housing and shelter and all those things. And I go, okay, fine. You want to show compassion towards them, fine. But then if you truly love them, you will give them the gospel. The problem is that their definition of love is that, well, the gospel is our outward actions as far as our affection and helping them. But yet the gospel is something that we must share with them. We must tell them the good news. And so this woman's analogy, a sister in the Lord, was that she was giving the analogy of the mission statement of the Salvation Army, that it used to be that you would say we give the lost people soap, the three S's, soap, soup, and salvation, so that we help them tangibly, but we also give them the good news. She said now many of the churches in Europe, and I would say the same is true in America, is that her version of love is to give them soup and soap. That's it. They're not giving them the salvation. And so we have organizations that are bringing refugees in, bringing Muslims in, open the door, let's all embrace them. Yet, for example, World Relief, in their own contract with the government, as an agency that brings refugees in, has agreed to not share the gospel.
Yes.
John Jacob, you're familiar with the story coming out of England. The Archbishop of the Anglican Church, his name is Justin Welby, who came out last week or about a week and a half ago and said that Christians should not speak of their faith with a Muslim unless they're first asked.
Yes.
You go, what? You go, where does it say in the Bible? So The problem we have is a disconnect between the love of God, which says, if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if we love these Muslims, if they're coming in, then let's share the gospel. And the other problem is, of course, is that we know that if they're coming in and their hearts are not changed, they have an Islamic agenda, and their agenda is to take over. Not every Muslim, of course, but that's the agenda of Islam. And I'm sure you get that feedback as I do. People say, well, you're fear-mongering. No, we're not trying to fear-monger about Muslims, but we're trying to expose what Islam is, and that Islam has an agenda, and Islam, as you said, is a spiritual entity. This is a war against principalities. This is a war against evil that is not just in the natural, but it is spiritual. And so I get very frustrated when I hear those say, well, the loving thing to do is just to let them all in. I think that's a suicidal thing to do. And according to our sister from Germany, John Jacob, she said a year ago she would have said Germany was under slow Islamization. She said now, a year later, she's calling it forced Islamization, where it is now being forced upon them, where they're going to be forced to take in refugees. The government is going to come and take their houses, their vehicles, their assets, whatever it takes to accommodate the refugees. That's suicide. That's not love.
Yeah, absolutely right. And to call it fear-mongering is like, that's like if some guy comes to me and says, hey, tell Sharam I'm going to kick his butt. So I turn around to you and say, he's going to kick your butt. And you say that you're fear-mongering, right? They've told us what they're going to do. They're not even projecting it. They just came right out and said, this is our agenda. And I was listening to a talk show host yesterday, and he's saying, you know, we just need to be reasonable here and try to find, you know, we need to take some measures to try to find these extremists who are infiltrating the refugees. I'm thinking they're not extremists infiltrating the refugees. The refugees, if they are devout Muslims, are the extremists.
We know from a counterterrorism aspect that literally the Islamic State is using the refugee channels to be able to embed the hardcore jihadists. So you have the devout Muslim who is going to engage in jihad, but they're obligated to engage either personally so they can fight, but they can also engage financially. They can engage by supporting the community, by protecting those Muslims that seek to harm. But when you have ISIS that now has control of passport-making machines, you have even the Syrian government that has said, look, a good percentage, 20% or more of the refugee population are embedded jihadists. And then you have, in America, the Christian organizations, the refugee agencies, that are making upwards of $1.5 to $2 billion a year off of taxpayers' backs, bringing these refugees in, saying, "Listen, while we recognize that there's a security concern, it's not our problem; it's the government's problem." And
yes,
yet the law enforcement community is saying it is a major problem because we can't properly vet. And Obama's got 600 refugees that are being screened, that are being not screened; they're being interviewed daily out of Jordan right now. How do you do that?
And
how would you?
Less than a fraction of 1% of those are Christians. They are rejecting Christian refugees who are truly being persecuted, and they are fast-tracking Muslims into the United States. We're with Pastor Sharam Hadian from Truth and Love Ministries. This is Radio Free Redoubt. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. at www.revrealty.us. You can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Therefore, propaganda is vastly more important in democratic societies.
In recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.
And we are back at the Voice of the American Redoubt. This segment is brought to you by Riverfront Suites. Go to riverfrontsuites.com. If you need a getaway on the beautiful St. Mary's River, St. Joe River, down by St. Mary's, Idaho, amazing little place. If you just want a retreat, or if you are here looking for property and you need a place to hole up and support a Patriot-owned business, then give them a call today. Riverfrontsuites.com. Check them out online. Now, we are with Pastor Shahram Haidian. If you are just tuning in now and missed the first part there, we're talking about the Islamic threat to America, and it is an existential threat. And there isn't much more of a subject matter expert than a former Muslim who is now a Christian pastor. And he is on always busy on speaking with speaking engagements, educating Christian patriots everywhere. And there's an event coming up this coming weekend, next Saturday in Coeur d'Alene. So thank you once again, Pastor Haidian, for joining us here.
Oh, great to be with you on the show again. And I want to say hi to all the listeners. And I hope and pray they continue to support your work. John Jacob, thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, sir. It's a team effort. We're all in this together. Let's talk about this conference next weekend. And before we get off the air today, I definitely want to come back to it to give everyone the information about where to go. But next weekend, this is titled Answering Islam, A Wake-Up Call for the World. Is that correct? Or it's part of a bigger conference, right?
It is. It's the first time locally that we're doing an all-day conference. As you know, when I travel and speak, a lot of times I'm giving different presentations, different parts of the picture. And the goal of the all-day conference is to kind of give more of a complete picture, where there's three areas that we're focusing on. One is exposing Islam, to really expose what it is practically and spiritually, and also expose its influence within America, within American politics. Just as a quick example, Obama just appointed a guy named Zaki Barzinji, who is his father, his grandfather, and he himself are members of the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, it's not even hidden. This is like a Google search, and you can find information about this guy.
Wow.
And he just appointed him as the Muslim, as the chief Muslim outreach position for the White House. So we're going to expose these type of things of what's going on in our government and how this government is bending over backwards to accommodate Islam. We're going to also seek to bring correction and expose the interfaith movement. You have the Pope, right, who invites just a couple weeks ago, less than a couple weeks ago, the chief imam of the most premier Islamic mosque outside of Saudi Arabia in Al-Azhar, Egypt, in the Al-Azhar University, Al-Azhar Mosque in Cairo, Egypt, he invites him to the Vatican and talks about this is a historic moment and how our two churches are going to come together. Two churches, really? And then he talks about the imam was opening the Quran, and they're pushing these lies about we have a common God, and we have a common holy book, and we have an Abrahamic faith. So we're going to try to expose this because, John Jacob, every time that I speak somewhere and I'm trying to expose, you would not be surprised. I know you wouldn't be surprised that our number one opposition comes from the interfaith community.
Yes.
Where, you know, it's, oh, you're not loving, oh, you're an Islamophobe, oh, you're intolerant, and all that, you know, the fear-mongering. So we want to blow the lid off that, and we want to expose that and bring correction to Christians. And then finally, the final phase of the conference is going to be focused on equipping Christians, both spiritually and practically. We are, by the way, having Idaho State Representative Heather Scott and Washington State Representative Matt Shea are going to be there in the afternoon for a legislative briefing on what's happening legislatively, locally, what are some solutions we can look at while we have the opportunity. But also, my spiritual father is going to be joining us at the conference. His name is Pastor Mark, and we don't share his last name for security reasons, but he's from Iran, has an incredible ministry through satellite where he's reaching underground believers all across the world and seeing many Muslims, particularly in Iran, come to Christ. He just came back from Europe where he saw many Iranians there come to Christ. So it's an amazing, he's going to be sharing in the afternoon, has an amazing testimony, and we're going to be talking about actually equipping Christians how to properly, and I don't mean with the social gospel stuff, I mean actually sharing the gospel, the unfiltered word of God with these Muslims, because that's the only way their hearts are going to change. It's the only way that my heart was changed to leave Islam, to denounce Islam, is with the word of God, with the gospel. So Saturday starts at 9 a.m., goes till 5 or maybe a little bit later, but we're going to try to pack as much as we can. It's going to be in beautiful Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, right in the heart of the American Readout, and the information is actually on our website, right on the front page of our website at tilproject.com, TIL, which stands for Truth and Love, the word project.com. Right on that front page, there's a picture of the conference. They can click on that. It takes it to the registration page, and then they can register for the conference. There is a slight charge just because we have to cover the facility costs and printing costs and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's $10 online or $15 at the door.
That's nominal. For this information, this is what Christians should be getting in front of and supporting. I know there were costs involved with the facility. This will cover that and support the ministry, but you cannot put a price on equipping yourself for this type of battle that we're in. And I've heard you speak before. I know the information you bring forward is solid, it's credible. And Pastor, we're going to be up to our necks in T-Rex with the Teotihuacan readiness exercise, a grid down annual exercise that we do from Friday through Sunday. But boy, if there was a way that I could break off and drop in there, that would be amazing. But you mentioned two legislators, an Idaho legislator and a Washington legislator. And I would say right now for the listeners, if neither one of these are your legislator, then contact your legislator, contact your county commissioner. This is where this battle is being fought, on the county levels where they are pushing to get refugees brought in, and contact them and say, you need to be at this conference because we're counting on you to protect our community, and you need to understand the truth. So when you're lied to, you recognize it and you'll be able to be better equipped. So
amen.
Definitely.
Amen.
Wow. This is great.
And I was going to quickly just say that that's one of the things we are going to focus on within the legislative briefing is actually because, you know, it's pretty challenging to get things passed at the state level, but we want to hopefully share some encouraging news from a couple of the counties, particularly in North Idaho, that I think are doing some really good things. But I agree with you 100% that really I believe the solution and the fight on a governmental level to be able to at least resist this for as long as we can is really at the county and local level, because it's just so challenging to get things done at the state level. Not that it's impossible, and I know both of those representatives are going to share some of their efforts and their fight that they've had to resist the ongoing advancement of Islam in our state and within the readout, because obviously, Judge Jacob, we know that God has called us to this area, and it is an area of refuge. It's an area that we believe is very strategic, and therefore, guess what? The enemy knows the same thing. The other side knows the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
That they have a sense of it too, and they're battling for this area. And so, this is why we have to equip ourselves, and both practically and spiritually equip ourselves to engage this issue, because it's not going away. I mean, it's not like Islam is going to go away anytime soon until the Lord Himself deals with it. So it's in our face, and it's right now getting more pronounced.
It is, and the American Redoubt just recently came up on the radar to the left, who are also strategically trying to strangle any vestige of American heritage and our Christian heritage. So once they realized there was an American Redoubt and what it is, they went on the attack, because they cannot allow any conservative Christian American heritage type of stronghold anywhere. It is a threat to them anywhere.
Right, right. Absolutely. And it's therefore, I think that unfortunately, you're seeing one of their tools be promoting the Islamic agenda. The plans of the refugee agenda is that. Even the White House individual that they have placed in charge of the refugee resettlement program, who, by the way, was the former vice executive director of La Raza, the race that is all about open borders and amnesty and all these rights for illegals, who is now heading up and spearheading the refugee resettlement program, says, look, they want to seed these communities. They want to come into these extremely conservative areas, and it's not an accident. It's by intention. And, at the same time, we see examples where they continue to attack Christianity. They continue to attack our religious freedom. Whether you have the Hitching Post in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, whether you have the Bakers in California or in Oregon, whether you have the florists in Tri-Cities, whether you have now, John Dickey, I think you saw that story of that pastor, the Baptist church in Hood River, Oregon, where he simply put on his reader board a factually biblical statement. That he said, wake up, Christians, Allah is not our God, Muhammad not greater than Jesus. And the second side says, only the Bible is God's word, the holy book. The Quran is just another book. And, media outrage, the protest, the mayor of Hood River says that this is a, quote, solid case of ugly, that this is bigoted, that the signs should come down. So we have attacks not only from the Muslim agenda, from the transgender homosexual agenda now within our public schools, but we have an attack on religious liberty that needs to be, fought for, because think about the price. I mean, going back to my own story, this is why we came to America, was because of the ability to be free. And, we're being put under some yoke of bondage, whether it's Islam, whether it's the, sexually immoral agenda or other things. And so this is why this fight is so critical. And we can't just sit back and think, well, somebody else will take care of it. I think God is tapping each of us on the shoulder to be engaged.
Oh, absolutely. And there are those who this woman, Heidi Mund, who came from Germany to as a watchman on the wall to warn Americans what's happening. It's sad because we have a willful ignorance. And in Europe, they have their own redoubt. It's called Hungary. I just read an article. I covered an article in the news commentary about the numbers of Germans that are fleeing to a refuge and safe haven in Hungary. A openly, by constitution, they are a Christian nation. They are the only nation that has not completely, dissolved its borders to make way for the Muslim invasion. And they've been so attacked. But we see this. Well, redoubting is kind of catching on. If you're in Europe and you need to move to a redoubt, Hungary is the European redoubt.
it's interesting, John Jacob, because when Heidi was here privately, not publicly, but privately, I spoke about this concept to her, and she shared with me that exact burden on their hearts. She felt that the Lord God had put on her heart and her husband's heart the idea of preparing some places of refuge. So it's amazing that it is a common theme, that I believe that God is stirring his people all over the world in different areas, and we just happen to be in a strategic area, not by accident, but I believe by the design of God's leading. But at the same time, as we said, you have the other side, the enemy, oftentimes attacks and wants to attack and wants to destroy. I may not know the specifics, but wants to destroy something that he sees as a threat. And clearly, the liberals, the progressives, the Muslims see, like you said, a area where there's a conglomerate of God-fearing Christian patriots or God-fearing patriots as a threat. And but yet here we are, and we're not trying to threaten anybody. We're just trying to say we want to live out our faith. We want to raise our children. We want to be able to worship our God. And at the same time, we believe that our nation was founded upon a Judeo-Christian heritage, and we don't want to see it Islamized, just like Heidi said about Germany. And yet because of that, you get attacked, and you're told that you're, a bigot and intolerant and hateful, and or you're an enemy of the state. And so it's pretty remarkable, but we need to gear up and just hunker down in regards to occupying until the Lord comes. But in the meantime, we're here, and we're to continue to raise up our kids. The promotion of Islam, one of the things that we're going to talk about too in the conference is how you see the media, our public education system, our government promoting Islam. Well, why is that happening? It's because we have rejected our Judeo-Christian heritage. We've rejected the foundation of what the nation was formed on. And if Americans think that Islam is going to give them freedom, they should go live in Iran for a while and then come back and talk to us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Go live in Saudi Arabia. Go live in Pakistan. Go live in a Muslim country. If you think that if you let Islam just have their way, or go live in Europe. Go talk to people who are living in Europe, dealing with the gang rapes and the forced Islamization and the diseases now that are coming in. Did you see that article out of Minnesota that 22% of the refugees that they've tested coming into Minnesota, particularly out of Somalia, are now testing positive for tuberculosis?
Wow.
Or certain diseases that we've eradicated here in the United States for the most part. So these are tangible issues.
It reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 28 of, the blessings if we follow God, and the curses if we rebel against him. And obviously we're in rebellion, and you get to the point where you are not capable of making sound, wise choices. That's why it feels like we're living in Alice in Wonderland in our country, where good is evil and evil is good, and everything is upside down and it's getting worse. And right in the middle of all that is is the scriptures that we can't ignore that also say not just diseases, not just your crops will stop bearing fruit, your womb will stop bearing fruit, your enemies will overtake you. Enemies from a foreign land will overtake you. You know, they'll come at you from one direction and you'll flee in seven. All that stuff happened to God's people when they rejected him. And, you know, obviously, as far as I'm concerned, the United States was a Christian nation. It was a gift from him. The liberty that we had and the freedoms and the blessings that we had are from him. So rebelling against him, if you want to find out what that's going to look like, you know, if you want to find out what a cake's going to turn out like, go back and look at the recipe. If you follow that recipe, you're going to get predictable results. And we're following a recipe that's destructive to us.
Exactly. Well said. And that's exactly, and I think that's one of the challenges we have, John Jacob, within the church, within the Christian community, is too many Christians are not looking at the patterns of Scripture, looking at the recipe. And God's been very clear. You quoted from Isaiah 5:20, where God told them, "Woe to the people who then begin to call evil good and good evil." And that the consequences of rejecting God, if you follow Romans chapter 1, it's like we've gone through as a nation, Romans chapter 1. If you look at it, and you already referenced the conditions that when God removed his hand of protection, not only did it bring pestilence and diseases and certain challenges within the nation, but that it brought their enemies in, and the foreigners came in. And then the foreigners actually not only come, but they abuse the resources. They actually took the resources that God had intended as a sign of blessing. So you're absolutely correct. We are like to a T following this. And then you have those Christians out there who continue to say, no, everything's fine. In a couple of years, we can turn this thing around. Things are going to get better. Yeah. And it's like a disconnect. It's a disconnect. But at the same time, we know that God is intentional about maintaining a remnant of his people. And I think that's where the redoubt comes in, is that there is a group of his people that are called by him to stand, regardless of the cost, and be able to, be uncompromising. This is not a popularity contest, right? Nobody said that, you know, the world is going to love us.
No, we want to be said the opposite
to God and our nation. Yeah.
Well, we definitely are with challenges. Something also for the young generation, and this is a very difficult one to overcome, because I've been watching some of these videos of the youth arguing at these Trump conferences, and the arguments that they're making makes you lose hope. Now, of course, you know, there's conservative young people on the other side yelling back, you know, making their statements, but you have a dichotomy. They are so polar opposite on the issues that you're right. It really does come down to a remnant, because the majority, the overwhelming majority, is either helping to advance this insane ideologies and anti-American sentiments. Just over in Portland, Oregon, they've got what was the university that has a whiteness shame month. Something to promote self-loathing and self-hate, and we're just crumbling in every corner. So standing firm, standing with the Lord, is going to be increasingly challenging, but so critical for the believers today. You cannot worry about what Amen. The world thinks of you. But we're coming down to the end of our time. One more time, please get your website, the information about the conference. One more time, we got about a minute and a half left.
You got it. So next Saturday, a week from the airing of this show, John Jacob, Saturday, June 11th, all-day conference starting at 9 a.m. at Candlelight Christian Fellowship in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Then go to our website at www.tilproject.com. Right on the front page, the picture there, scrolling pictures, is at the conference. Click on that. Goes to the conference registration. They can register online, $10, or they can, you know, send payment in with their address. Or if they want, they can also come the day of. It's $15 at the door. It's going to be prayerfully an amazing time of equipping, of educating and equipping, so that we come out with some solutions and some action plans for Christians to engage this issue, because, as I said, it's not going away. So thank you for letting us promote this and be able to just hopefully share this with the listeners out there. And we look forward to seeing as many of you as possible next Saturday. And John Jacob, if it works out, if you can sneak away, we'd love to have you as well. Anytime you're, of course, you're always welcome to be with us.
Yeah, that is what a great thing. What a great event. What a great investment. And you know what? Take your children too. The next generation, they need to be hearing this, because these are the challenges they are going to be directly confronted with among their peers, on social media, at their school, if you happen to have a child that goes to a public school, or not, even within the church. They're going to be challenged. They need to know the truth, and they need to know how to respond. So thank you, Pastor Sharam Hadian, for being with us. God bless you, your ministry, and everything that you're doing. And we just pray that is a blessing next Saturday at that event at Candlelight Fellowship in Coeur d'Alene. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and blessing to you and your ministry and all your listeners.
All right, and a special thanks to all of you out in the listening audience. Thank you guys for your support and your prayers. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at RadioFreeReadout.com for our weekly podcast. And until we meet and talk again, you have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you have been tuned in to the voice of the American Readout.